His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied? I'm beginning to see the light. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. We're spending the summer months going through the Ten Commandments, and we'll be halfway through after today. If you don't have a Bible, that's okay. There's a bulletin that has the little scripture on there. Some people use a device. That's good. Certainly the scripture will be up here on the screen. I just want to put a little context of the importance of this fifth commandment. It's just one verse in the Bible, but it echoes all the way through the Bible. I just want to set the context just a little bit of the importance of this commandment for all of us that are here today. I think if you were to take a broad brush, make a couple of broad brush statements about our culture, if you were to be able to get the metrics or the analytics about what are some tendencies of the culture that we live in, I think clearly a couple of things as it regards this commandment, they're broad brush, but I think they're true statements. Today we live in a culture that doesn't really like authority. In other words, authority is kind of looked down on a little bit, and certainly it's changed even in the 50-some years that I've been on this earth. And secondly, we live in a culture that doesn't really value old age. And from my perspective, and again, the metrics, I think, bear this out, especially in our culture in America, I think that we're valuing old age less and less. We're putting a high value on youth, and not that there would be anything wrong, but if it devalues old age, then certainly that's off limits. And as followers of Christ, if you claim to be that, then we're called to be different than the culture. And the fifth commandment really flies directly in the face of where our culture is going as far as authority and how we devalue, I think, old age. So this commandment, I think, is going to be a clear way that if we could just take some time and meditate. Let me share a couple of things about the commandment. You think about how you can apply it to your life. I think this is something that would really set the Christian community apart from the culture by how we would honor our father and mother. So let me read just the commandment. It'll be up here on the screen. It's a pretty straightforward commandment. But I think, like every commandment that I've studied so far, I think that there's going to be a truth that's kind of unearthed as we get into the meat of this commandment that you might not have thought of. So let me read the commandment, and then we'll dive into it just a little bit. Exodus 20 and verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. And so I've already mentioned it's the fifth out of 10 commandments. The first four commandments that we've studied have to do with how we're to love and worship God, so our vertical relationship. Starting with the fifth commandment and going through the 10, so the last six commandments have to do with loving people and our horizontal relationships. And I think the order is very specific in Scripture, that you're never going to get this horizontal right until you get this vertical relationship with God right. And so I think it's incumbent upon us then to get the vertical right with God so that we have any hope of getting the horizontal right. And so you have really the first four commandments about your love for God, and then the next six commandments are your love for fellow man. Jesus said so much in Matthew chapter 22. Let me just read. So he was asked, what was the greatest commandment? Many of you are familiar with this little conversation. But Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That covers the first four commandments. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So Jesus is saying it's right when you look at the Ten Commandments to divide them. This has to do with God and loving and worshiping God. These have to do with loving your fellow man. God first, your vertical relationship, and then your horizontal relationship. So let me make a couple observations, if I get you to put that verse, Exodus 20, back up on the board. Let me make a couple of observations, and then I'm going to make three really practical applications for us from this commandment this morning. I want you to look at the commandment, Exodus 20 and verse 12, and the first observation would be that this is the first and only of the Ten Commandments with a positive promise. Okay, a number of the other commandments will say, if you don't do this, then this is what's going to happen. And so this is the only, the first and the only one of the Ten Commandments that has a positive promise. So we should sit up and take notice. God has something special in this commandment. If you will take what God has for you, you grab it and you apply it to your life, then God has a specific blessing. Now the blessing, when it was originally given to the Israelite people, he was going to move them into the promised land. And he's saying, when you get into the promised land, if you want to have a fruitful life, if you want to even have a long life, so there's some years and there's a time element, broad brush, that's a part of this, then you need to simply obey, or not so simply, obey your parents. And that's what God's saying. Now, eventually and over time, the little phrase that your days may be long in the land, that became an expression for the Hebrew people about if you want God's blessing or you want the abundant life. So we could literally read now, honor your father and your mother so that God says, so I can bestow on you the abundant life. So I can bestow on you all the blessings that I have stored up for you. And so God wants to bless with this commandment. Now, my mom's here, so I got to make sure that I tell the truth about my growing up years, or she'll stand up and just kind of you know, let you know on the story. But the fact of the matter is that obedience to parents brings a blessing. It brings a blessing. Now, the second kind of observation that I want to make is, and it's true for every one of the Ten Commandments, this commandment is given in the singular. So it's meant for each one of us individually. It's just not like throw it out to the group. So everybody here this morning, everybody in the first service that is hearing this commandment is for you. So it's specifically would say, you yourself honor your father and your mother. So there isn't anybody in this room that's going to escape this commandment. I think it just could be a general statement. Not everyone in this room has children, but certainly everyone in this room has had parents, a mother and father. So this command is for all of us. And then the third observation before we get to the practical application is probably the most important observation, and I think it's the meat of this command. And this is where, in studying it this week, that God has really revealed to me that I had a somewhat of a grasp on this command, but not really the intent of the command. I want you to listen to me. The command is primarily directed, the command is honor your father and mother. It's primarily directed to adults who have parents who are still alive. Now let me say that again. This command to honor your father and mother is primarily, now it's going to apply to the children, we're going to get to that in just a second, but it's primarily directed to adults who have aging parents. In context, that's who the command was given to. We would have been there. Moses comes down from the mountain, we're out there as parents, we certainly have our kids with us, but the command is given to a group of people, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years of age, honor your father and mother. Just look at the command. When it's given in the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say, children, honor your father and mother. No, it says to you and to me, honor your father and mother. So we want to know, well, what does that mean? And so it was given to adults. Now, just in case you're not with me on this, I want you to see that when Jesus took this command in the New Testament, he applied it to adults who had aging parents. So this is how Jesus took this command. I think Matthew 15 will be up here on the screen. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they were always nipping at Jesus' heel. Jesus was never doing anything right, and they had their traditions on how to wash their hands and what you can do on the Sabbath and all these things. And so they were always challenging Jesus because he didn't fit their mold. And so here's an exchange between the Pharisees and the scribes and Jesus. Now, I just want you to realize, in context, the Pharisees and the scribes are 30, 40, 50, 60-year-old individuals. So I want you to see how Jesus applies this command to them. So here's what it says in Matthew 15, starting verse 1. Then the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem, and they said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition," underline that, "of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." And if you were to go to seminary like I did, you'd have a course on how the Jews kept the Ten Commandments and how they added, you know, like hundreds of laws to the commandment that God never put in there. But one of them was how to wash your hands. And they had like 10 rules on which hand you do first and when you wipe it and what you do with the towel and all this. Jesus didn't follow any of those man-made. So they're getting off after him and say, "Why don't you wash your hands when you eat?" Now, you could rip that verse out and give that to your kids and post that, and that'll be fine. But So he answered them, Jesus, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?" Now, Jesus never sins, so snarky's not the right word, but Jesus kind of got snarky back with him. He's like, "You're talking to me about washing my hands? Well, why do you break the tradition? Why do you break the commandment of God for your tradition? For God commanded." Now, here's where this commandment Jesus applies it. "For God commanded, honor your father and mother. And whoever reviles father or mother must surely die." So he's given them the commandment, these older people. "But you say, if anyone tells his father or mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God." So here's the scenario that they were actually doing. So they had aging parents. The command has always been to take care of those parents. But they had so many assets, land or whatever. And what they would do is they would dedicate the land and their resources to God. And then they would go tell the aging parents, "I would help you out. I would do this for you, but I've dedicated that to God. God's more important. He takes priority, certainly. And so I'm not able to help you out." If you read the full account through the Gospels, they would call that Corban, C-O-R-B-A-N. They had this rule. So if you claim something to be Corban, that means it's dedicated to God and it's off limits to anybody else. And so they would name it Corban. And God is saying, you are a hypocrite. The command is to honor your father and your mother. And in the name of God, you're not doing that. And so basically, I think God is saying, look, if you're saying you're honoring me, but you're not taking care of your aging parents, then you're not honoring me, whatever that means. And he says to them, "You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you? You honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. In vain you worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men." And so this command then is primary. It's not, and we're going to go just in 1 minute, we're going to be at the children. But the command is primarily given to adults who have aging parents. So it's for most of us here this morning. So let me give you three practical applications. They're kind of simple little sentences or phrases. And I want to write up front, as I did in the first service, Adrian Rogers was a pastor from Tennessee and just a widely known preacher. He died a couple of years ago. But when I read his thoughts on this command on Friday, he really helped me simplify my study and put it maybe in words that everybody can grasp. So I'm indebted to the study of Adrian Rogers as we look at the practical application. So let me give you three practical applications of the simple command, hard to obey, command of honor your father and mother. Number one, and here's where we're going to start. Number one that clearly comes out of this is that you must obey your parents when you're young. So even though it's primarily given to the adults for their parents who are getting old, it clearly, as you get to the New Testament, it has a major truth for young people. And the basic truth is that you're to obey your parents when you are young. Now, how many in the room, because kids got dismissed to children's churches, how many in the room are still living at home or you're under the age of 18 and you're still, just raise your hand. Okay, I see one hand laying on the floor down here and got a number of kids over here. That's good. I like that. That's good. If you want to come to the front row, you can lay down here. That's the benefit here. You know, no sleeping bag or anything like that. But so the command is for you to obey your parents. Now, there's more parents in here right now than there are children, young people, because they're at the children's church. This is also for the parents. God has laid down an authority structure in this command for the home, and the parents need to get it drilled into their brain, and the children need to get it drilled into their brain that you're to obey your parents when you're young. This is reaffirmed in the New Testament, Ephesians 6. You can just write these verses down. Paul said, taking this commandment, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. And then it says in the New Testament, this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Notice the little promise there is included in the... But then it has verse 4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So God is saying, children, you got to obey your parents. Parents, you need to take the responsibility for being the authority figure in the house. If you went to Romans 1, where he lists all the sins that caused the people to be cursed, and he goes down through and they're worshiping idols and they're blaspheming God, one of the sins that's listed in Romans 1 is disobedient to parents. I think I have 2 Timothy 3 up here. One of the signs of the last days, this was written 2,000 years ago, understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty, for people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, and unholy. And so God is laying down in this command for our purposes just right now, children, you're to obey your parents. Now, in my mind, I'd like to give you a visual picture. So to me, this is the... This could be called the Continental Divide for children. I got a picture of the actual Continental Divide. Has anybody ever gone through, over, around, or hiked the Continental Divide? Raise your hand so I know that you've been there. So this is the Continental Divide. It actually starts in the Bering Sea north of Alaska, goes all the way down, goes through the United States, all the way through South America to the tip. It's called the Continental Divide. This is a picture of one of the northern parts of that. Tomorrow, Brian Carlton and I will be traveling to Montana, and we're going to cross the Continental Divide, and the camp is just on the western, just miles from the actual what's called the Continental Divide. And so we'll be traveling there tomorrow to meet the youth group. The mountain range runs from north to south, and so it's, even though it's on the western side of the United States, it's called the Continental Divide. And so here's what I want you to visualize. Picture a cloud with rain in it, and it's hovering right over the Continental Divide. Well, if a drop of rain falls on the one side of the Continental Divide, that drop of water will eventually find itself in the Pacific Ocean. If the drop of rain falls on the east side, it'll eventually go through the Mississippi Valley, Mississippi River, into the Gulf of Mexico, and out into the Atlantic Ocean. So both seem to start at nearly the same place, but they end up oceans apart. And I think from my perspective, I'm 57, 5 kids that are married, 11 grandkids, observing pastor counseling, I would say this command is the continental divide for children and how your life is going to go. Obeying parents is serious business to God. And he says, look, if you take it to heart, my word, and you obey your parents, and by the way, it didn't say in there, honor your father and mother if they're really worthy of it, if they've done everything great for you. It doesn't say that. It doesn't give any stipulations. It just says to do it. And so God promises this unbelievable blessing. But I want you to see that there's also an extreme circumstance if you don't. And these are broad brush things. Let me read you a portion of Scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 21. Now, this is Old Testament, and we live on this side of the cross, so this wouldn't apply to us today, and we'll praise the Lord after we read this. But listen to this. If a man has a stubborn or rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders, so that's kicking and screaming, of his city, at the city gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and he's rebellious, he will not obey our voice. And notice, this is a little bit of an older child, he is a glutton and he's a drunkard, but he won't listen to us. Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones, so you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all the Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I said in the first service, I almost don't even want to put that verse up there in case you're visiting here. You know, it's like you're going to look around and say, where did all the kids go in this church? You know, it's like, well, there's as many kids as there are adults, and so 500 people call Lakeside Home, 250 are 18 and under, and there's a bunch of them back there. I mean, so God is saying, this isn't monkey business with me. This is like real stuff here. This is serious. Now, on the other side of the cross of Christ, we're not stoning kids for being disobedient, but God doesn't change. He doesn't, the commandment doesn't mean less to him today because of the culture we live in. I think it would be good, maybe, if you went home, one of the practical things you could do if you still have children at home is you could make a sign. Here's the sign. Warning. Put it over the children's bedroom. Disobedience to your parents may be hazardous to your health. Just put it right over the bedroom there when they walk in there. Look, from a pastor's perspective and somebody who counsels a lot and I get involved in families when they're all screwed up and you know, there's a trail of ruined lives because of how it falls on this command. Parents don't want to come across as authoritative. We want to be friends. We're going to be peers with our kids. And, you know, we're going to let them make the decision, this and that. And you know, obviously, as they get older, while they're still in the house, you got to do that. But God has given you some authority, and God has given them the responsibility to obey the authority. So this cuts both ways. So listen up, parents and children. So God has reminded us in this command that he has set up an authority structure in the home. That's what this command is saying. I'm concerned that our society today, parents are increasingly relating to their kids in anything but in a position of authority. Now again, with the media and everything, there's abuse and there's we're talking about loving authority. I get to meet with kids whose parents let them make all of the decisions from the time they were 4 years of age. What do you want to do? What would you like to do? And you know what? They end up in my office. If children do not learn to respect authority in the home, where are they going to learn to respect authority? Now again, we're talking loving. We're not talking abuse, and there's all kinds of it. Even in our church, we hear gut-wrenching stories about parental abuse that happened when somebody was younger, and we're not talking about anything like it. We're talking about loving authority in a home. Let me just you don't have to turn there, but let me just give you a little Old Testament story about this very thing so you can see from a parent's perspective and a children's perspective how this goes. So God gave us a story. So there's this guy by the name of Eli. And God puts him in charge of the tabernacle services and the worship, and the Israelites would come, and he was responsible. He's the main guy. He's the lead pastor. He's the big kahuna. You know, he's the guy. And Eli is trying to live for God. He's trying to do what he's given his life and all this, and he has two sons who have no desire for God whatsoever. Matter of fact, listen. You don't have to turn there. Just let me read this to you. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 12, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord." So God's saying, okay, we got this dad. He wants to kind of live for the Lord. He's out there. He's serving with his life. But he's got two sons who want nothing to do with God. And then it says in chapter 2, verse 22, "Now Eli was very old, and he kept hearing about his sons and all that they were doing to all Israel, and how they would lay with the women who were serving at the entrance of the tent of the meeting." So you had people serving, and you have greeters and ushers or whatever, and you have the lead pastor guy. His two sons are promiscuous with the workers of the tabernacle and temple. And so Eli's hearing this, and the Hebrew says he's constantly hearing things about his son. So what does he do? Here's what he does in verse 23. "And so he said to them," he calls them, "why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings from all these people." All these people are coming to me. "No, my sons, it is not good report that I hear the people of the Lord spreading abroad." So he calls them and he talks to them. Now listen to what God says a couple of verses later. The actions continue. No real direct action is taken. It says in verse 29, God says to Eli, "Why then do you scorn my sacrifices and my offerings that I commanded for my dwelling, and you honor your sons above me?" And then he says, "Because you didn't deal with your sons other than just talking to them, you didn't take any kind of action, there's going to be a consequence." And God says to him, if you read the passage, "There's going to be one day coming when both of your sons die on the same day." It says in verse 13 of chapter 3, "And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them." He didn't stop them. And so if you carry the story out, you get to chapter 4. There's a battle. The Israelites go out. The Ark of the Covenant is captured. The two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are killed in battle on the same day. A servant of Eli comes running, tells Eli, as an old man, that his two sons have just died, which God said was going to absolutely happen. And it says in chapter 4, Eli hears that, he falls backwards over his chair, and he dies. So you have a story in the Old Testament where the parent didn't do his job. He didn't exercise the authority over his sons. You had sons who were disobedient, and in the end, there's consequences for both. And so in this idea of obeying your parents when you're young, that cuts both ways. It has a responsibility for parents. Number two, application. So you're to obey your parents when you're young. And number two, and this is the heart of the Old Testament commandment, number two is you're to care for your parents when they're old. You're to care for them when you're old, when they're old. So you obey your parents when you're young. You care for them when they're old. Now, clearly, the way that you relate to your parents once you get married and move out of the house, according to Scripture, is going to be different. It says in Genesis 2 that you're to leave your mother and father and cleave to your wife. So there's a different relationship, but the fifth commandment is not canceled out by your marriage. You're to honor your father and mother. It's a timeless command. I just got to tell you from a personal perspective, and Adam does counseling, and we go to counseling conferences, this and that. I've read and heard a great deal about the responsibility of parents to their children. I have not seen anything that I know of that's been written or developed concerning the responsibility of adults to their aged parents. But that's this command. So in Scripture, it's all over, but not so much in our culture. Look at 1 Timothy 5, Paul wrote to Timothy, and I just want you to see this. If you were to read these two verses in context, it starts out about how do we treat older men, how do we treat older women, how do we treat widows. Here's what it says in verse 4. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. So he's saying in this context of writing about how do you take care of old people that you have relationships with, he's saying if there's a widow, if you have a mom or a grandmother who's a widow, then you as a son or a grandson have a responsibility to take care of them. That's clearly Old Testament and New Testament. And then verse 8, and I'm going to tell you right now, I've always taken this verse out of context, verse 8, until this week. Because I'll meet in counseling with men who are not providing for their family, and I say, you have a responsibility to provide for your wife and your children, and I quote verse 8. But that's taken verse 8 out of context, because verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, he's talking about mother and father, primarily widow, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So verse 8 is not talking about the parents providing for the children. It's talking about the older children providing for their aging parents. It's flipped on its head. Okay, now listen to me. Let me get really practical here. And, you know, if you're over 60 or 70, you could say amen anytime along here. Care for your parents when they are old. I wish I had all my kids here today, but they're doing a good job. But I want you to listen to me. Care for them when they're old. If you have to bathe them, they bathed you. If you have to feed them, they what? Fed you. If it's going to cost you financially, it cost them financially. If you have to sacrifice for them, I can guarantee you they sacrifice more for you. Honoring your parents according to this command will one day require you being the parent to your parents. That's what this command is saying. Jesus applied this command to older adults for their aging parents. So the command demands you care for your parents who are aging. That's the bottom line, whatever that means in your situation. So care for your parents when they're old. Obey your parents when you're young. And then number three, and we'll wrap this up, honor your parents at all times. That's clearly the overarching truth of the fifth command. I just want to show you something here from the Hebrew. The word honor is a specific word. It's the Hebrew, it's the Hebrew word kabod. And it has to do with give due weight. It came to mean respect, esteem, value. It means don't take them lightly, don't treat them lightly. Never in Scripture is the word honor applied or commanded to a thing. It's always a person. Most often it's to God. Second most often it's to parents. So give them respect, esteem, value. Do not take lightly. Now, you can study this out. Let me just mention this to you. This is something I came across just last night. Do you remember I said Eli? Do you remember what his two sons' names are? Can anybody yell them out to me? Hophni and Phinehas. So in 1 Samuel chapter 4, so Hophni and Phinehas die. Servant comes back, tells Eli. He falls backwards out of the chair. He dies. So all kinds of stuff is going on. Well, it says in 1 Samuel 4 that Phinehas had a wife who was pregnant and about ready to give birth. And I thought, Phinehas, you dirty, rotten little scoundrel, you're messing around with other women and your wife is pregnant. That's the first thing I thought. But it says in 1 Samuel 4 that Phinehas' wife hears the news that her husband died. She immediately, because of the trauma of that, goes into labor and she has a son. Does anybody know what the wife of Phinehas named the son? His name is Ichabod, which is kabod with an I before it, or no glory. Instead of giving glory, there is no glory. So we're to honor our parents at all times. We're to place a value on them because God says that's what you're going to do. Now, if I could have Isaac bring the command back up, if you could bring that back up. Notice the command doesn't say if they deserve it. It doesn't say that. Now, I know from where I sit in this church that we have numbers of individuals who had horrible experiences as children. We have testimonies that have been given about abuse and sexual abuse and verbal abuse and physical abuse and parents non-existent or broken homes. And some in our church wouldn't even know who their father was. And so I get that. This, and I don't take that lightly, and I don't just say, well, we'll deal with it, you know, whatever. That's a serious thing. And so God is asking you to take this command and say, well, you know, Lord, how do I apply this given that's my history? The only thing I can tell you as the preacher guy up here is that the commandment doesn't say if they deserve it or if they've been great parents. It doesn't say that. It says you're commanded to honor your mother and father, your parents at all times. How that looks as it comes out, as you obey that, that's between God and you. All's I know for sure in my life is that as I elevate Christ in my life, every other relationship is elevated right along with it. So as I'm aiming to be Christ-like, I'm going to naturally be a better husband, a better father, a better grandfather, a better son. And so whatever your relationship with God means, it must mean that you're going to be able in a pleasing way to God to honor your parents no matter what that historical record actually proves. And by the way, not to take what you've gone through lightly, but Jesus died for us while we were in the act of sinning. So we're to place a value. We're to honor them for the sacrifices they made, the experience that they have. Now, Adrian Rogers gave 5 ways to show honor to your parents that I found very helpful. So I'm just going to give you his list and make a couple of comments. So I think you should be able to take 2 or 3 or all 5 of these and take being here this morning. Let the passage of Scripture, the command, the Holy Spirit, let him actually have, so there's fruit in your life coming out of this, however that is. So let me give you 5 ways to show honor. Number 1, show respect. And I'm going to be very simple here under this. You show respect when you're talking to them and when you're talking about them. Whether they're in your presence or not in your presence, to honor your father and mother certainly has something to do with the verbal words when you're talking to them and when you're talking about them. Number 2, express gratitude. Like, express gratitude. If there's a distance, write a letter. If you're able, make the visit. Clearly make the call. Be verbal in expressing to them your gratitude for them. You know, I've shared numerous times, all 5 of my kids are married. The oldest one is like 32, or I'm getting so old I can't remember how old my oldest child is. Anybody else have that problem? Or is it just me? Okay, I'm on an island out here. But if one of my sons or even my daughter, who they have children now, if we're together and they come up and they say, Dad, I just want you to know I love you. I'm like, dude, that was enough for me for the day. I just melt right there. And, you know, this rough, tough guy, but express it. Don't assume they know it. And even if they do know it, express it. Express gratitude. Number 3. Listen to their counsel. I didn't say always follow their counsel. I'd say always do what they want you to do. Numerous ones in our church family have parents who don't care about God or whatever. Well, they're going to give you different counsel about how you should spend your time and what you should do on Sunday and where your money goes and all this. That's not going to be pleasing to God. But listen to their counsel. They deserve to be listened to. Here's what I want you to think with me on just this point as I give you these practical things. Tony O'Toole is out in Montana, and Brian and I are going out there, okay? Tony's been out there like five times. I was out there when I was 16 years of age, 1976. Our family took a trip out there. But Tony's been there. And so Tony is telling me, okay, Tony, we're coming out to meet you. And Tony has given me a list, and I got a particular list that he texted me or emailed me. Stop here. Avoid that spot. That's a tourist trap. This is a must-see. Hey, when you're up there in Kalispell, eat here. Okay. So is his IQ necessarily higher than mine? In this case, yes, it is. Just so you know, that's not a very good illustration. Even if his IQ isn't higher, he's been down the road farther. And your parents, just by sheer numbers of years, have been down the road farther. Listen to their counsel. Number four, live a godly life. You want to honor your parents? I don't care if they know God, they go to church, they don't. The ultimate honor is for you to live a godly life. It's said in Scripture, there's no greater joy than to see children walking in truth. And then number five, and then we'll wrap this up, express love with acts of love. Now, I wish everybody would just say, okay, well, that's one I'm going to automatically do. Do the deed. Give the gift. Show the affection. Actually take this command and do something with it. Listen, we never outgrow God's command to honor our parents. Now, there are some in here that their parents are gone, and I realize you say, well, what's this command have to do with me? Well, then help your children and your grandchildren be that godly influence in their life and see that authority structure and help the kids wherever you can be a parent. If you say, well, man, I blew it in my early years, my kids don't want anything to do with me, then you try to mend that relationship. So let me close with Jesus. As we might expect and do find with every one of the commands, Jesus fulfilled the command perfectly. In Luke 2, in verse 51, when Jesus was 12 years old, it said, and he went down with his parents, and he came to Nazareth, and he was submissive to them. The writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 5, in verse 8, said, though he was the Son of God, yet he learned obedience. Philippians 2 and verse 8 says that he became obedient unto death, obedient to his Father who sent him to die on the cross. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And then in his last moments before he gave his life, he's on the cross. He tells John, the disciple whom he loved, he tells John, this is my mother, her name's Mary, and I want you to take her back and take care of her because I'm leaving. So he's on the cross, fulfilling the fifth command by honoring his mother while he's dying on the cross. So he's our example. Now, I have to close. Jesus not only obeyed the command perfectly and he lived sinlessly, but he also died on the cross because we haven't obeyed it. And so he was both fulfilling the law and paying the price for us not fulfilling the law when he hung on the cross, take our sins. He says, Jesus says, after all that, he says, come to me, all you weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Just come and have a relationship with me. I'll forgive your sins, and I'll create this relationship. And then just out of that, in Psalm 68 or Psalm 69, it says that God takes the lonely person. In other words, that person who feels like or physically does not have any earthly family, it says that God sets them into families. He sets the lonely into families. And so I'm here to tell you that God's created a church family, and we'll invite you in. But it starts with a relationship with Christ.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message, or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.